Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the East Church. Welcome to our service of worship. At the end of the service today, we're going to have a lunch, a Thanksgiving lunch for everything that Janie has done for us while she's been here with us for the year. She's with us next week. She doesn't actually leave till the end of August, but we thought we'd get it in early, a Thanksgiving lunch. So the way it'll work is we're going to have a time of tea and coffee here in the church, to allow people to finish the setting up of the meal in the hall, and then we'll go across. I'll remind you of that again at the end of the service, if I remember, but knowing me, I probably won't remember. So we'll do whatever happens at the end of the service. On the back of the order of service, again, you can see some of the things that are coming up in the next wee while at the East Church. I'd like to bring two things to your attention. Wednesday, the 6th of August. Time for a tune, a concert here, 16th of August. I can hear coming from behind me. time for a tune 3. I assume that means we've had two other times for the tunes, does it? Yes, we enjoyed them. I remember them. 7 o'clock here in the church. And also, Thursday, the 17th of August, we continue our crafty church from 1 to 3 in the main hall. This is a tremendous time when we get together, not always to do crafts, but just to enjoy ourselves. There's tea, there's coffee. We have made collages. We've listened to music. I'm not quite sure what's happening this time, but it is a great time to come together. So if you can make it between 1 and 3 on Thursday, the 17th of August, you'll be made most welcome. In our worship this morning, meals do abound. There is the tea, the Thanksgiving lunch, for Janie at the end of the meal, at the end of the worship service. But in our Old Testament reading, bread is mentioned. In the Gospel, we compare two very different community parties. We look at Herod's birthday party, and we look at the feeding of the 5,000. And then after that, we sing the hymn, and we go across to the hall for the lunch after we've had the coffee. We can look to Janie, and we can see discipleship in action. Today is about thinking about discipleship. So I have a question for you. Now, that's a frequent phrase of Janie's that over the last year I have learned to hear as, pay attention, Alan. You are going to have to think logically now. So I have a question for you all. Think back to a meal that you've shared recently. Turn to those around you for a short while and share something of your experience or your feelings of that time. Why were you together eating? What did it feel like? Did you feel anxious or relaxed? What did it sound like? Quiet and reflective or laughter-filled and loud? Maybe there was a discussion that you remember or a dish prepared and shared. So I have a question for you all. Think back to a meal you've experienced recently. Turn to those around you and share just for a few moments something of your experience or feelings at that time. Wow. Okay, so if you've had a good long chat, does anybody want to tell me a little bit about something that, a meal that was exciting, an experience shared, or any kind of meal that you've had? Any comments? Silence. We're going to be here for a long time. I had a meal last Wednesday with Jennifer in Glasgow, and one of the things I loved about it was, because I was with Jennifer and it was just Jennifer and me, I had whatever I wanted on the menu, and that was a burger with a fried egg. It was great. Anybody else had a burger with a fried egg recently? Nobody had any exciting, has a hand go up somewhere? Oh, Grant, what have you been doing? We'll remember that. Yeah, meals, they can be important in our lives, can't they? And today, that's what we're going to look at, meals and discipleship, and what maybe we find in the gospel. But let us worship God. We sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Let us pray. God, our mouths continue to speak your praise. Why, you ask, Oh, I see why in a world that seems to grown up and now often looks elsewhere for answers, you ask, why do our mouths continue to speak your praise? Well, simply put, you are our gracious and merciful God. We praise you for our God-given memories and experiences, our God-given wisdom received and shared, our God-given stories of what your kingdom looks like, and your trust that we will follow as your disciples today. You simply ask us to listen closely to you, and so we do. Week by week, day by day, we listen. And as we do, we discover and understand more of your world and how our lives, created from so many unique experiences and decisions, fit with your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, our mouths continue to speak your praise. And so today, once more, we incline our ears to you. We do that knowing that you will delight us, knowing that you are slow to anger, good to all, the one who showers compassion on all whom you have made. Lord, our mouths continue to speak your praise. Why? Because wherever we look in your world, we see you. We see you from the cross of your Son Jesus, watching and supporting, encouraging and enlightening, immersing yourself in the troubles and happiness of the world. Our mouths will speak your praise, Lord, for there is nobody or nothing like you, and we delight in knowing you. So accept our worship and praise this morning, brought to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls, young and old. Nice to see you. Who has ever been on a picnic? Lots of us have been on picnics. Did we go to the Sunday school picnic in the Boyne? We did, didn't we? And it was great. What do we eat when we go to picnics? Sandwiches. Okay. Anything else? Crisps. Sandwiches. Crisps. Said crisps. Anything else we eat in picnics? Cake. 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 Pies, I hear. In fact, on the Sunday school picnic, I think somebody had a birthday and there was a special cake. Who said pies? Anything else? Sweets, oh, sweets, yes.
Somebody up here saying salad and fruit.
Salad and fruit. So there is a healthy option. Okay, we'll say fruit. That seems reasonable. And that's lots of things to eat. Do we have anything to drink? Who with fruit? Juice. Okay. Different types of juice, and of course there's probably water as well. So boys and girls, would you come up and stand here and show the congregation what we have on a picnic? Just stand up and hold everything up. That's fine. Mum can come as well. So we have lots of lovely things on a picnic. Fruit, juice, pies, sandwiches, water, of course, crisps, sweets, and cake. And you can show it to the choir as well. So if you want to sit down again, that's fine. So Jesus and the disciples, they decided to have a restful day and they went to a deserted place. They thought it was a deserted place so they could rest and meditate. But when they got there was a large crowd there already. Now, in these days, people didn't have Facebook and they didn't have emails, but they must have heard that Jesus was going to be in this special place. Arrived. They traveled long distances to get there to hear his word. And eventually there were 5,000 people there to listen to him. And he told them stories and parables, and he healed the sick, and he prayed with them. So at the end of the day, everybody was tired and probably hungry. So the disciples said to Jesus, "Shall we send the people away home now?" And Jesus said, "No, let us feed them. They are very tired. Tell them to sit down in the grass." The disciples said, "But we haven't any food." And Jesus said, "Go amongst the 5,000 and see if anybody has any food." So the disciples went amongst the crowd and they found one boy with one back. So would you like to tell, come up and see what's in the bag, please. Take one out. Okay.
Whoa. Oh. You hold that.
Right, what have we got? Hold them up so everybody can see. Buns, cakes.
Bread.
So, we have, you don't have one. That's one fish, okay? Okay, and two fish. So in the boy's bag, there were 5 loaves and 2 fish. Do you think that 5 loaves and 2 fish would be able to feed all the people here today? You think so? They'd have to have a very little bit. Would it really make them satisfy their hunger? I don't think so. And certainly at the Sunday school picnic, it would never have fed us because we were so active, we needed lots of food that day. So Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 5 fish and he blessed them. And he said to the disciples, "Take them out to the 5,000 and feed them." And the disciples went out amongst the 5,000 and he gave them bits and pieces of the fish and the loaves and they all had enough to eat. And when they were finished, Jesus said, "Pick up the bits that are left." And the disciples picked up all the bits that were left. And do you know, there were 12 baskets full of food left over. So that is the power of the Lord. So God, through Jesus, provides for us. Nothing else today? No, not if you eat that. No. So Jesus, of course, provides for us. He can provide food and he can provide the words that nourish our souls. So we are very thankful to him. So let us just say a prayer. We are thankful to you, loving God, that Jesus cared so much for those people that he provided plenty of food for them, from just a little bit of bread and 2 small fish. We are thankful too, Lord, that you care for us. Amen. We continue to worship by singing hymn 225, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you made us in your image, with a mind to know you and a heart to love you and a will to serve you. But our knowledge is imperfect, our love inconstant, our obedience incomplete. Yet you are so quick to forgive us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. You do not hold our imperfect knowledge, our inconsistent love, or our incomplete obedience against us, but in your tender love you forgive. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty and merciful Lord, grant us pardon and remission from all our sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit. God of love, your Son, Jesus Christ, fed the hungry with the bread of life and the word of the kingdom. He gave us a new commandment that we should love one another even as you love. So renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by the true and living bread, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing Longing for Light.
Thank you. The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 to 5. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. We now praise him with our next hymn from CH 4552, Oh for a closer walk with God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 14, and I'm reading verses 1 to 21. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother, Philip's wife. But John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here, on a platter, the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let us pray. Loving God, open our hearts today that your word might seep into our hearts and reappear in our actions every day with everyone we meet. Amen. We all do like to eat, don't we? We saw that earlier with the children and the picnics. It's a basic of life. But meals are often more than just the chance to refuel, aren't they? I don't know what you talked about, most of you, during the call to worship, but meals can be times of social or practical discussion, can't they? Times to unwind or times to discover what others are doing. This morning in the gospel reading, we heard about 2 very well-known but very different meals, didn't we? Herod's birthday party and the feeding of the 5,000. 2 stories. But maybe you wonder about how they fit with the readings that we've been hearing over the last few weeks. Those readings that concentrated on Matthew's bumper collection of the parables of Jesus. Did you count? Excluding the explanations for the arable parables, we heard around 7 parables, all open-ended stories that tell us something of what the kingdom of God is like. All who have ears, listen. But now we seem to be in different territory, don't we? 2 longer stories. But are we actually in different territory? Do these stories also tell us something of the kingdom? Well, let's look and see. That string of 7 parables, I like to think of them a little bit like the examples in the old math textbooks that I used at school. Sure, many of you remember. How you'd open it up in chapter 3, and there'd be a page of worked examples, straightforward questions like, if one elephant has 4 legs and you buy another 20 elephants, calculate how many legs you have, assuming no untoward injuries. You may exclude your own legs and those of your family and pets. The answer to those questions, quite straightforward, a number. But then remember how you turned the page and you were asked to apply your knowledge in solving problems without help. Problems that kind of took up half, if not the whole of the page. Things like, it's your brother's birthday and you buy from Bankery Market a 1.5 meter tall vat of cream custard containing 20% of a very new type of vanilla seeds. a bag of clothes pegs sold by weight, 4 pork chops and a damaged sugar decoration of an elephant missing one leg. You struggle to place your vat of custard into the decorative party bag you receive your unboxed 20-centimeter square Jenga puzzle in recently. It is a tight squeeze, but the party bag fits like a glove. On the way home, you glance at your watch and inadvertently snag the bag of clothes pegs on a hedge. You notice a peg fall from the bag, but you hurry on. The pegs begin to fall from the bag at a steady rate of 1 every 2 minutes. 22 minutes later, you reach the crossing lights, set down your vat of custard, and notice the bag of pegs is empty. At the same time, a stray dog dashes up and chews its way through the bag containing your chops. The dog succeeds in removing some of your pork chops and dashes away. You continue on your way home. When you get home, you discover that the dog had removed 350 of the 800 grams of pork chops. So, consider the vat of custard and calculate how many grams of vanilla seeds you have bought. Describe how you might estimate the maximum number of pegs in your bag when the stall holder handed them to you. Comment on the accuracy of your estimate. Evaluate the health risks associating with allowing your brother to eat his birthday pork chops. List the ingredients and tools necessary to reconstruct the elephant's missing leg. Provide diagrams of the process. Show all your working. The density of custard is approximately 1.07. I'm sure you remember questions like that. And if you sit down, there are answers. That question actually works. But with these textbook questions, those early examples, they ask us to see just how we do things. And then we're challenged, aren't we, to think deeply as we apply our knowledge to everyday situations such as a trip to the shops. Matthew wants us to discover more than the simple stories from Jesus' life through his gospel. He positions the stories in such a way to allow us to delve deeper into how God's love works, how God's kingdom works. Matthew seems to throw in a test at this point. As with the maths textbook we use, Matthew gives us a range of works, examples of what the kingdom of God is like. And then he positions these two stories, longer stories, Herod's birthday party and the feeding of the 5,000. And there is a kind of question. There's lots of questions that hang over these stories, but there's a question from Matthew that hovers over these texts, isn't there? And actually, in the next story in the chapter 2. Go on, Matthew seems to say, you now know what the kingdom of God is like. You've had 7 parables telling you, and you know you were called to discipleship. So which, if any, of these stories here show how discipleship works in the kingdom of God? So maybe we take some time to see the ideas flow from that little scene of Herod's birthday party into the scene of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes, and help us see what the kingdom is like. All who have ears, listen. And the obvious link between the two stories is a meal shared with others. But look carefully, and you'll find that both stories share the idea of a challenge at a meal and how we react to it. Look first at the death of John the Baptist at Herod's birthday party. Look closely, because this is actually a flashback to where we found John in prison. And as with any TV or film, it's a flashback that explains something important to us. It explains why Herod is worried about Jesus, as he thinks Jesus may be John risen from the dead. So Matthew supplies us with this flashback. It's party time for Herod, the ruler surrounded by his court. It's his birthday, and he's enjoying himself. After all, it is a party. There's food and drink and dancing. And as Calvin himself puts in his commentary on this passage, dancing was in vogue in first century Jewish life as a sign of joy. And dancing that night was the daughter of Herodias, who held a huge grudge against John the Baptist. The party becomes one of rancor and revenge. And Herod finds himself caught up in this diabolical web, doesn't he? He's promised on oath to give the dancer whatever she wants. And in the presence of numerous witnesses, she asks for the head of John the Baptist. The king has promised and cannot let himself down in front of all his friends once he's been challenged like this. So the prophet is killed. In the end, it's a sad story. It's a sad story of a man who cannot face doing what he knows is right, or doesn't really want to do at that point. But you can't read the story, though, without asking yourself, what would you have done? you'd been entangled in a web like that, would you have been able to resist the skillfully constructed challenge that was laid before him? All who have ears, listen. The kingdom of God is like. And then when Jesus hears the news, Jesus feels the need to be alone, but the crowd are waiting for him when he gets back to land, and he feels compassion for them. And so starts to teach and heal. And already we sense that this story is more tranquil than the previous one, don't we? But then Jesus, like Herod earlier, is challenged by somebody close to him. We sometimes don't emphasize this aspect of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is challenged by somebody close to him. It's not a wife seeking revenge, but it is somebody who's maybe taken the place of his family. Send the crowd away, his disciples tell him. Send the crowd away. It's a challenge. It's late. They're hungry. They need food. And it may not seem like a challenge, but it is. Because you can imagine the disciples watching him teaching, looking at the long walk to the nearest village for the crowd if they are to get food, and thinking, hurry up, Jesus. These people need to get home. Eventually, they can stand it no more, and some of them approach him. Send the crowd home, they say. Stop teaching. How would Herod have dealt with that challenge? Would he have ignored it? Probably. Would he have quietly entered into a discussion like Jesus did? I'm not so sure. Would he have challenged his supporters to feed the crowd? Maybe. Would he have worked with his team of supporters to feed the people together? I doubt it. Watch closely what Jesus does. Jesus knows that the people can be fed. That's the starting point. Jesus knows that the people can be fed. And he knows that the disciples are important as a part of meeting that challenge to feed them. He sends them out to see what they can find. And they come back with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the rest of the story we know ends in joy and abundance. What a different atmosphere at that meal compared with Herod's birthday party. Just look at what Jesus does again. He turns to the disciples. He agrees that there is a challenge. We have to feed them. But then he lets them know that they have it in them. They can do it. He encourages them to get on with it and to sort it out. Unlike Herod, Jesus is not so much interested in showing his power to the crowd. He's more interested in empowering and involving and encouraging those around him to help him sort out the challenge. In fact, when Jesus feeds 5,000, in this story, the disciples are actually indispensable when you look at it. They find the resources, not Jesus, to start with. They find the resources, and the disciples muster them. And yes, those resources they find are quite meager. But Jesus helps them to discover that such resources are sufficient. In his hands, they become more than enough. This story is a description of how Jesus deals with a difficult situation, but he doesn't just go it alone. He doesn't make decisions that will hurt some and please others. His disciples are indispensable to him. From the diagnosis of the need to the gathering up of the leftovers. Watching them, they show us just what it means to be disciples, meeting a challenge compassionately by taking what little you have and offering it to God as Jesus did. There's no prior briefing here. There's no explanation about how it'll turn out. They just get on and do it. It is as they carry out Jesus' instructions that they discover one whose compassion actually goes beyond their wildest dreams. And what's behind the story? What motivates Herod and Jesus? Well, Herod can only feel fear. But for Jesus, it's God's grace that we are seeing. It's a practical demonstration of God's grace, a practical example of what the kingdom is like. So maybe now you see part of what Matthew does when he sits down to plan his gospel. Matthew wants us to concentrate on discipleship and stewardship and continuity with the history. To hear the range of parables that tell us what the kingdom of God is like. And then, as with our school books of yesteryear, we look at this and we consider how this works more deeply in the complicated challenges that we have to solve or help. He does that by encouraging us to look at two types of behavior in response to challenging situations and asks which of the characters actually show us the kingdom of God in action here on earth. In other words, who shows us just what discipleship means for those who first read Matthew's gospel and for us today? Jesus trusted his disciples to deliver. He knew they were indispensable to his ministry. He asks them to give whatever they have, and God will take it and show them the way. And God trusts us too to deliver. He knows that we are the disciples of the moment. He knows that we are indispensable to his ministry too. We may feel we have little to offer for a range of reasons, but God asks us to offer what little we have and watch what happens. All who have ears, listen, then act to bring the kingdom into being on earth as it is in heaven through each of our ongoing discipleship in 2017 and beyond. Let us pray. Bountiful and compassionate God, you place in the hands of your disciples the food of life. Nourish us with your love, such that we may help others to meet the difficulties of life as you show us, and so share with them the gifts that we have so richly received. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be glory and honor as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We continue to worship God by offering back to him some of what he has given each of us through our offering. The offering will now be received.
Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Loving God, we gather before you this morning to give our thanks. Our thanks to you who so loved the world that you gave your only Son so that we might be saved. For the life you have given us and the promise of life hereafter, you also provide for us. You have given us your creation, our world, our earth, the seas, the skies, the land, the hills and rivers. We see your love for us in all that creation, the beauty of the flowers, the crops that surround us and meet our needs. You have given us the love and fellowship of family and friends that help us, sustain us on our earthly journey. You gave us our church family. And that family was blessed with your gift of Janie to us. We give her grateful thanks for her presence and her work with us in your name. You bless us with much. Let us be worthy of your kindness and love. And we think now of others. We join our thoughts with other Christians across the world. At this time, we think of all those who suffer from famine, from poverty and conflict, from persecution. We pray for the Coptic Christians who suffer so much for their belief in you. Grant them your peace. And we pray for the refugees who have no home, little or no support, sometimes little hope. Help them in their hour of need, and focus the minds of governments and those who have the power to provide the help they so badly need. And we pray for all those organizations that do their best to help them. We also now pray for those that are anxious. We particularly are mindful of the family of the missing Aberdeen woman, Narat Jahan, sadly missing since the end of July. We also have a moment now to ourselves to think of those who are known to us personally. Our loved ones who have gone before, those who grieve or are in sorrow or pain, and in this moment of silence, we give you their names. Loving God, grant them your peace and ease their difficulties. And give guidance to our leaders and our church, our local and national governments. Give your guidance to their decisions. We ask your blessings on all these. We are thirsty. Quench our thirst with your guidance and show us the way, your path. And we now join together in saying the word your Son taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And our concluding hymn this morning is CH 4153, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Go out now, return to the world, taking what little you think you have that God can use to build his kingdom every day, everywhere, with everyone. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore. Here before we go across to have our lunch to thank God for everything that Janie has done for us in the last year. But if you'd like to sit down, just Janie, could you just come out? I forgot to tell you that this was going to happen, but you wouldn't be surprised because you know the way my brain works. You're here this week and you're with us again next week, so we're having a kind of two-part goodbye. So we're having the lunch, we're having tea, and there's this little book which I'd like to give you today. People have been writing, hopefully, nice things in it. And I thought, well, while we had tea, and while we wait for the lunch to be prepared, maybe if people still haven't written in the book and they'd like to, I'm sure that you'd be willing to let them do that. That's just all I wanted to say. I'll say goodbye properly next week. So it's tea time now. Do you think you could get the tables out for the tea?